even though significant efforts have been made to make people aware of the dangers they create, if the driver while drunk, there are still those who just don't get it and even become repeat offenders, frightening enough. That's why a bill making its way through the legislative process in Trenton is very important. It would add a large asset to the effort to prevent those repeat offenders. Here with the details is a partner with the law firm of Davis, Saperstein & Solomon, author of the book Spring Break, True Story of Hope and Determination. He's also a national board member of Mothers Against Drunk Driving, Stephen Benvenisti. Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning.
And give you a couple of websites. Of course, you know you can always find them at our page. It's contractforlife.com to get you more clued into what Stephen's work and his story is all about. You can also grab a copy of his book over there and learn more about what we're talking about here, Ignition Interlocks, mad.org, MADD.org/interlock. But, yeah, let's start with the idea that's going through the, well, it's already gone through the Assembly. It's in front of the Senate now. There are tandem bills, S-385 in the Senate, State Senate in New Jersey, and in the Assembly, A-1368. And they are adding new requirements for ignition interlocks. Give us some details. What's that all about, and what are some of the parameters that this bill would put into place?
Well, ignition interlock devices are essentially breathalyzers that are put into cars, and they're only put into cars of convicted drunk drivers. Each and every state has a law that at some point, if someone is convicted of drinking and driving, they will get this ignition interlock device put in their vehicle. But we have learned that states which have adopted what's called all offender legislation, which essentially means the first time you're convicted of drinking and driving, you get this device put in your car. States which have adopted that type of a law, now there are 24 states which have adopted that type of a law, have seen a reduction in fatalities on their roadways of up to 43%.
Wow.
Which is absolutely incredible. You know, in my 20-plus years of being an attorney, I've never seen such a direct correlation between a law being enacted and lives being saved than a law which requires ignition interlock devices for all offenders of drunk driving. So with Mothers Against Drunk Driving, I have been testifying in Trenton for the past year to try to get our current drunk driving law changed. Our current drunk driving law is NJSA 39:4-50. If you know anyone who's been convicted of drunk driving, that's the law that applies. And the law sets forth certain penalties, which include license suspensions and fines. And currently, under the law, second-time offenders get an ignition interlock device or this breathalyzer put in their car. And first-time offenders only get this device if their blood alcohol content is 0.15 or greater, which is almost twice the legal limit. So what I've been requesting the legislators in Trenton to do with Mothers Against Drunk Driving, I've been making these requests and testifying many times, is asking that if a person is convicted once, that in addition to the other penalties, that there's a requirement that they get an ignition interlock device put in their car, essentially a breathalyzer that will not allow the car to start and continue to be driven if a person's blood alcohol content is above the limit set on that device.
This whole idea, too, with the ignition lock, I guess I'll take the counter position to it, and this is something I'm sure you've been challenged with as well. Technology is claimed to be not absolute. Is there something that could go wrong with this ignition lock that makes it not the perfect solution?
Well, technology is not absolute, but this is the best technology that we have right now. And we're not asking to apply to all people when they first get a license. We're not asking that it apply to all drivers on the roadway. We're only asking that it applies to drivers who've already proven that they cannot obey the law. And as a result, if they want to operate a motor vehicle, they need to do it with this device. They have to prove before they get behind the wheel that they haven't had too much to drink. Some arguments as to what could potentially go wrong. Some have argued, well, there have been instances where another person has tried to blow into the device who was not drinking so that the drunk driver could then proceed and drive. That is, of course, a risk, but there are certain protections in place to minimize that. The first is if a person tries to blow into a device for another drunk driver, if they try to circumvent the technology, that person has committed a crime, and that, in many cases, is a deterrent. Also, it's not just blowing into the device. Some devices require you to hum, to blow, and then to suck the device for it to start. But it doesn't end there. There are rolling retests, which means if someone was foolish enough to have someone else blow into the device, once the vehicle is being operated, after 10 minutes, for example, you need to test it again. And if the person then fails that test, the horn will blow, the lights will flicker, there will be a record kept within the device, and the person will be breaking the law. And most importantly, we haven't seen that as being a big problem with people trying to circumvent the advice. But what we have seen, which is really incredible, is two things. We've seen that rearrest rates for drunk drivers have been reduced by 67%. And the drunk driving fatality rate, which is amazing that I described earlier, has been reduced almost immediately by over 40% in some states. You know, in this country, we have 10,000 people every single year who are killed by drunk drivers, which is astounding. In New Jersey alone, it's been the same every single year. The year 2012, the last time it was measured, 164 people in our state died because of a drunk driver. The year before that, it was 191. I mean, this device, once this becomes law, where it applies to all defenders, I've been promising legislators now for a year that we're going to see such dramatic changes in New Jersey with regard to drunk driving fatalities. What I do for a living is I'm a personal injury attorney for the past 20 years, and I've been representing personal injury victims with so many of my cases involving drunk driving victims. And what's so tragic is I have not gotten to meet most of the drunk driving victims that I've represented because they've died so unnecessarily in these completely preventable crashes. I'm always representing their family members, and the theme that applies to every single drunk driving crash is how easily it could have been avoided. And this device is really going to be the best measure to have, almost like a probation officer sitting in a car with someone who's already been convicted of drunk driving. And most importantly, we'll see lives being saved and crashes being avoided.
Oh, Stephen Benvenisti, who is a partner with the law firm of Davis, Saperstein & Solomon, author of the book Spring Break, A True Story of Hope and Determination, also a national board member of Mothers Against Drunk Driving, contractforlife.com. As you learn more about Stephen's story, mad.org/interlock, more about the topic we're talking about here, the expansion of the implementation of ignition interlocks in New Jersey. It's S-385 in the state Senate, in Trenton, A-1368 in the Assembly. And you're listening to Issues and Ideas. Again, the counter-argument to this idea is that, well, you know, first-time drunk driving offender, one person makes one mistake, why bring down the hammer on them? But don't stats show that that supposed first offense is just the first drunk driving activity that's been finally captured and proven?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, first-time offenders are so rarely, first-time convicted drunk drivers are so rarely first-time offenders. In fact, it's been determined that they probably have driven drunk 80 times before they were actually caught. And so it is something that is really going to completely reduce the drunk driving offenses, whether or not there's a crash that follows. But that is correct.
This idea, too, is really a close cousin to something that's already been implemented and also succeeding and expanding in New Jersey, the electronic monitoring of Megan's Law.
That's a very interesting analogy, and a lot of people have brought it up, even though what happened with Megan's Law is obviously completely different than with regard to drinking and driving. But this all did start with something called Ricky's Law. And I actually testified 5 years ago. And Ricky Branca was a resident of New Jersey who was doing nothing wrong when a drunk driver who was a repeat offender crashed into this poor kid and killed him. And in 2010, the law was revised in New Jersey where ignition interlock devices became part of the law. And it was Ricky's Law, and it was in his honor. And this is just taking it a step further, and it's going to be a step further that's going to have results that are going to be so amazing in this state, with lives being saved. You know, you hear people say all the time, if one life is saved, it's worth it. But we're talking about reductions in fatalities of up to 43% in some states. So this is very, very exciting, and this law is long overdue.
And certainly not to shortchange your story, but we only have about a minute and change left here. As far as why you've stepped up, and you've mentioned professionally why you've stepped up and why you've made this a personal cause for you, but there's a personal reason as well.
There is, and if you go to contractforlife.com, you'll see that when I was attending the College of New Jersey, it was Trenton State College at the time, I was walking with my friends one night, and a repeat offender drunk driver crashed right into me when I was walking, and I was knocked into a coma for almost 2 weeks. My legs were crushed, and the doctors called my family in Bergen County, and they asked permission to donate my organs because it didn't look like I would live for more than a couple of hours. And if I did survive, I would be blind and completely and totally brain damaged and severely brain damaged. and that was heartbreaking for my family. My parents actually came to the hospital with a camera and took photographs of me on life support. And when I was blessed, after 10 days in a coma, 6 months in a hospital, and 15 surgeries, when I was blessed with a 100% full and complete recovery, I started my mission to make sure this didn't happen to anyone else. That's why I speak throughout New Jersey and throughout the country at schools to try to end drunk driving. That's why I travel to brain injury conferences and medical conferences throughout the country to share with audiences how there is such a thing as a full recovery from severe trauma to the brain, from severe brain damage or severe traumatic brain injury. And I'm so proud to do that. And that's why I authored Spring Break, A True Story of Hope and Determination, just to tell the story as to how someone can have a full recovery after having severe trauma to their brains in their form of a severe brain damage or severe traumatic brain injury. But thank you for asking me about that.
And for you listening, when you hear an idea, before you jump to a conclusion, study the facts and the stats, because they might just lead you to a whole different conclusion and make you understand how an idea does indeed make a difference. And that's what we're talking about here with the expansion of Ignition Intralox in New Jersey. Again, for the legislation, you go over to njledge.state.nj.us, or you look up S-385 in the State Senate and A-1368 in the Assembly. Learn more about that and urge your local representative to get on board and make sure this gets to the governor's desk. And to learn more of Stephen's story, contractforlife.com, as well as to learn more about the Intralox, the Ignition Intralox issue, madd.org/Intralox. I know I just threw a lot of stuff at you, but it's all over at our website, nice and easy to locate and to reference. Again, we've been joined this morning by a partner with the law firm of Davis Saperstein Solomon. He's author of the book Spring Break, A True Story of Hope and Determination, National Board Member of Mothers Against Drunk Driving, Stephen Benvenisti. Stephen, you give of yourself with your personal story, your personal efforts. For that, we thank you for being here today as well.
Well, Chris, I thank you for bringing attention to this very, very important topic for the people of the state of New Jersey.